I'd ask you to please turn with me to the letter to the Hebrews and chapter 4 and verse 14. The letter to the Hebrews and chapter 4 and verse 14. We'll just read the final three verses for our meditation this evening. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the subject before us this evening is Jesus Christ, our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. And I want us to consider this evening in a devotional manner these verses for spiritual encouragement. I realize that a number of you have come from the busy scenes of life, and the midweek meeting sometimes can be challenging. You can be weary in your minds, and sometimes it's helpful to focus upon something of a devotional by nature, which will be of some encouragement to take us through on into life. Now, we have an assured reason to hold fast our profession. And not only to hold fast their profession, but to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, that's an amazing exaltation, is it not? We, as needy sinners, often recognizing our own weaknesses, yes, we, those called by grace in Christ Jesus, are invited, actually exhorted, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why can this be possible? How can we, needy sinners, come boldly to the very throne room of heaven? Well, we are told there is a great high priest at the Father's right hand in heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord. Jesus, the perfect man, in his glorified body. Yet, and this is an amazing consideration if we meditate upon it, in glory, Jesus is still showing in his glorified body, his risen body, the evidence of Calvary. So, at the very right hand of God the Father, in his perfection, is his only beloved Son, and perfectly united together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there in heaven is the evidence of Calvary. The riven side, the nail prints in the hands and the feet. You remember how Jesus appeared to Thomas, and Thomas had said, unless I see, I will not believe. And that was Jesus who came to Thomas in his risen body, his glorified body. And Jesus said, look, touch, show, see, Thomas, see the evidence. And then Jesus said something very interesting. He said, because you have seen, Thomas, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And so that's where we come this evening. We have in heaven a Savior, a high priest, who is actually speaking for us. The hymn writer put it beautifully. The hymn writer said, see where before the throne he stands and pours the all-prevailing prayer, points to his sides and lifts his hands and shows that I am graven there. Oh, we read in Scripture, I have graven thee on the palms of my hands. When Jesus went to Calvary, it wasn't a mindless transaction. When Jesus went to Calvary, he had all the church on his mind as the Son of God. Every sinner to be saved by grace was on his mind. So he had you on his mind. You were there on his mind at Calvary. That's an incredible thought, is it not? That when Jesus went to Calvary, we hadn't been born, but we were in the mind of our Savior because he was suffering for us. Those sins that we've committed today, he was suffering for those. This is our Lord. But I want us to notice here something very important. It says here, Jesus the Son of God. Jesus the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he's in glory at the right hand of the Father. He's passed through the heavens. He's now at the right hand again of God the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, equally God with the Father and with the Spirit. And so this evening, the first thing to establish in our minds for our comfort and assurance to come boldly to the throne of grace is that we have a high priest in heaven who is absolutely, eternally great. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Why is he great? Well, he's great because he is the perfect Son of God. He's holy, without blemish. He's great because he's accomplished absolutely and perfectly the work of salvation on behalf of needy sinners. He's great in his person, in his perfection, in his power, but he's great in this context this evening because he's able to save unto the uttermost. Oh, Satan might say to you this evening, he'll remind you of something way back in your life and say, and it keeps popping up in your mind, oh yes, you trust the Lord Jesus, but what about that event that took place so many years ago? What about that? Oh, the Word of God says he's able to save unto the uttermost. He's able to deal with those sins, to deal with those events in the past. He's able to cleanse you absolutely and perfectly. Seated at the Father's right hand, we have this great high priest. And he presents us before the Father in his own righteousness as perfect. And he presents our petitions before the Father perfectly. He doesn't do so as a machine. He doesn't do so as a WhatsApp messenger. He does it feelingly. He speaks to the Father directly. He has a direct access to the Father because he's at the right hand of the Father. He himself is truly God, and he presents our petitions as our great high priest feelingly, wholeheartedly, with understanding, with compassion, in a supportive manner. And we're invited, nay, we're actually encouraged to come boldly to the throne of grace, to come to this wonderful high priest who not only can save us, but will speak for us in our Christian life as our advocate on high. And he beckons us to come to the Father, and he does so with a loving, compassionate heart to do us good in his precious name. And so we have this encouragement then. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Now, we all have weaknesses. We need to be honest. One of the areas in which a Christian is the most courageous person in the world is that a Christian under the conviction of the Holy Spirit is someone who is actually real about themselves. There's no cover-up. They acknowledge before God, oh Lord, I am weak. I cannot walk in the Christian life in my own strength. I need your help, Lord. And we have a high priest that sympathizes with us. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now that's an amazing statement, is it not? We sometimes think we're in this modern age and the sort of sophisticated temptations we have to deal with are way beyond God, way beyond Jesus of Nazareth, way beyond the great high priest. Surely, how can the Lord Jesus sympathize with the temptations of the internet? How can the Lord Jesus sympathize with us in this sophisticated day and age? As the Son of God made man, he most certainly can, because he understands the epicenter of those temptations, the type of temptations they are, where they've come from, where they've emanated from, why it is that you're struggling with them. He was in all points tempted like us we are. There's not one temptation that will ever take hold of a person from now to the end of the world that is beyond the understanding, person, and nature of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're encouraged this evening. We've got a one who understands. He's not only one that understands, he sympathizes. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, of heaven and earth, the Lord of all, sympathizes with you. He knows what a struggle it is. Because we have such a person in heaven, speaking on our behalf, willing to receive us, willing to intercede for us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a lovely expression this is for the throne room of heaven, the throne of grace, the throne of God's favor towards you. That's what grace means. Grace is God's favor towards you. And mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. Mercy is God not showering upon you his wrath and his justice as you deserve, because it has come upon his only beloved Son. And grace is us receiving what we cannot earn and what we do not deserve, and yet we receive it. And we are told that we can receive mercy and we can find grace to help in time of need constantly. That we come to worship and to pray to this merciful high priest and this gracious high priest, together with God the Father, oh, obtaining mercy, the favor, the mercy, the kindness, the long-suffering, the patience of God, and the grace to help, the all-sufficient grace from the God of all grace to sustain us in every situation of life. Well, to obtain mercy, that God will deal us with, that God will not deal with us according to our iniquities, but according to his abundant mercy. To obtain grace, that God will give us sustaining grace for each day according to our need. These verses are the crown jewels of God for encouragement in prayer. And as we consider this passage devotionally this evening, I want you to think of a ring or on a black velvet. In our country, when we go to a jeweler's to buy a wedding ring or an engagement ring, then the person who is selling that particular ring will present it to you on the backdrop of black velvet. And this ring, whether it be gold or silver or whatever it might be, glistens because of the backdrop. And it needs to be polished, and they polish it hard, and so it stands forth in its beauty. And so it is for this verse. This is one of the crown jewels that we must polish in our mind as we meditate upon it. We are shining it. It's not that the Word of God needs improving, but the problem is because of our unbelief at times and because of our lethargy, the promises of God in our mind become tarnished, and they lose their luster, they lose their shine. And we've got to shine them up in our mind. We've got to think about them, we've got to meditate upon them, and we've got to think seriously about them and be encouraged in them, and, as it were, polish them up again so these promises shine in their beauty for our soul. Oh, these verses, they provide God-given assurance. This is God's assurance centered in the person and work of Jesus, the Son of God, who is passed into heaven. Oh, we long to have assurance. We long to feel more certain as we walk the Christian life. How is this to be? We have to come to the Word of God. We have to depend upon the promises of God. We have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to think seriously about Him and embrace Him by faith into our hearts more and more. Let us have confidence in our great High Priest, our intercessor in heaven. The hymn writer says, "He who for man their surety stood and poured on earth His precious blood, pursues in heaven His mighty plan, the Saviour and the Friend of man." But now I just want to suggest to you, by way of devotion, some of the characteristics of this great High Priest, which encourages us to come boldly to the throne of grace. It all centers around the fact that He is a merciful High Priest, that He is a sympathizing High Priest, that He is an understanding High Priest, that He is an experienced High Priest. He's been here on this earth. He knows what we're experiencing. And the one bestows upon us, according to God's sovereign will, grace and mercy in time of need. Well, I would suggest to you some of these thoughts for your meditation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the competent intercessor. The competent intercessor. Because Christ is the supremely skillful intercessor, because He knows God perfectly, because He is God, and He knows us perfectly. And no one else can say that. That's an impossibility, but the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true of Him. He is God, so He knows God's will. He knows God's purposes perfectly. But He also knows you perfectly. So He is the perfect man, perfectly suitable to intercede. He can plead for us perfectly in accordance with God's law and His will and our needs. He can plead for us in harmony with God's will and with God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need any advisers like our Prime Minister does. He doesn't need any advisers. He is infinite in knowledge of both God and man. He has the experience. He has the knowledge. He has the wisdom to speak on our behalf. And we can be sure that He always has your best interests at heart. And a most remarkable thing, because everything we do, even our good works that we do as a fruit of our faith, they're not perfect while here on earth. Even our prayers. We don't pray perfect prayers. It's impossible for us to pray perfect prayers because while here upon earth, we're not perfect people. So something needs to be dealt with in our prayers. We need an intercessor to cleanse our prayers and to present them as cleansed before the Father. The lack of wisdom in our prayers are made wise by the Lord Jesus. They're presented in such a way to the Father where our dear great high priest in heaven above takes our petitions and presents them in a way to the Father which will accord with his perfect will. So it's true to say that as we pray to our Father in heaven through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our prayers have been filtered, not in a negative way, but they've been improved for us by our great high priest. They have been so ordered to go to the Father in a perfect way, like pure filtered water. You see, the only way we can come boldly to the throne of grace is because Jesus is there, because Jesus is interceding for us. We can't go boldly to the throne of grace without Jesus. All our prayers are in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they go to the Father through the Son. There is no direct access to the Father apart from through the Son. That is the truth of Scripture. But secondly, he is the pure intercessor, because his intercession is marked by the perfect standard of his righteousness. And there is no deviation from the truth, from the will of God, and from the word of God as he intercedes for us as our great high priest. His intercession, being pure, is always pleasing to God the Father. Being pure and in accordance with his Father's will, no plea of Christ on our behalf is ever rejected by the Father. Jesus, the Son of God, provides for us pure access as he intercedes for us as our righteous advocate. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. There is a story about when there was a president of the United States of America who had a son who was about 4 or 5 years of age. One Saturday morning, the president was talking to another prime minister from another land in an important meeting, and this little boy decided he wanted to go and see his dad. He wanted to go and see. He knew where he was, so he walked through the corridors. He found his way through, and the officer saw, oh, that's the president's son, he's okay. And evidently, this is a true story, he got to the Oval Office, he knocked on the door, he opened the door, he didn't wait for an invitation, just went straight in, and he walked up to the president's the oval table, he walked up to his dad, and his dad took him up on his knee and carried on talking. And this is what the boy said as he was going on the corridor: my dad's in there. My dad's in there. That got him in. Now, when we think about that little boy, that son going into the Oval House because his dad was in there, because he knew that he would be received by his father, well, so it is in a much deeper and much more significant way. Our Father is in heaven. Our advocate is on high. Our great high priest is there. And we're told to go boldly under the throne of grace, because we have an intercessor there, a competent intercessor, an authoritative intercessor. But then we have a very prompt intercessor. There's something about the intercession of the Lord Jesus that perhaps we do not realize. Do you not know that the Lord Jesus He's praying for you before you even pray to him or to the Father. By that I mean, he is proactively praying for his people. How do I know that? How can I say that? Well, from Scripture we know. What about the Apostle Peter? Jesus said to Peter, Simon Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, when you are restored, strengthen the brethren. Peter hasn't fallen yet. But the Lord Jesus, as the Son of God, knows the future, knows what's going to happen. He's already proactively praying for Peter. He's already interceding for Peter. Do you not know the same is in your life? That the Lord Jesus knows what's going to happen next week, and he's already praying for you. He's already interceding. Nothing takes God by surprise. Any prayer you pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not surprised, and they thought, oh, I didn't realize this. They already know. So you say, well, why am I praying then? You're not praying so that God knows, because he already knows. You are praying because it's good for you to pray. Prayer is not because God in some way is inadequate and depends upon you telling him. Prayer is a gift of God. It's an exercise from God. It's a therapy for your soul. And it's a way in which God condescends to ensure that his will harmonizes with our petitions. It's a condescension of God, really. God could do anything and everything without prayer, but he is so willed it to be in partnership with our petitions. We need to remember, though, that God knows all things, the past, the present, and the future, and our great high priest in heaven above is proactively interceding for us that our faith fail not. He is the prompt intercessor. There are no prayers left unattended with the Lord Jesus. Sadly, sometimes we forget things, don't we? I have a problem with my memory at the moment. We sometimes forget things. But the Lord Jesus doesn't forget anything. We may think he's forgotten if we're waiting for that answer to our petition, and maybe we've been praying for a long while, and we think maybe the Lord's forgotten. No, it's simply this, that God has a perfect time to deal with that situation in his perfect way. It's not that God is not listening. It's not that God's not answering. It's just that God has a plan and a purpose, and his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts and our thoughts, and his timing invariably does not accord with ours. Invariably, God's timing is different from ours. Well, he is the prompt, proactive intercessor. But then he is the compassionate intercessor. The compassionate intercessor. As the Son of God, he receives thousands of prayers constantly to present to the Father. And each one is understood beyond their comprehension. He enters into each prayer of his people with feeling. We might say he sits where we sit. He understands where we are coming from. Oh, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, he understands about the assaults of the enemy that you've had in your life. He understands about the temptations. He understands about the oppression. He understands about the opposition. He understands about the hindrances. He understands about the weaknesses. Oh, he understands not just with a knowledge, but with a compassion. Because our text said he is a sympathizing high priest. He's a compassionate high priest. This is not just knowledge, friends. This is not that Jesus knows. He understands. And he not only understands, he sympathizes with you. He knows what a struggle it is for you. He knows that sometimes it's like walking through treacle. And every day it's like walking through treacle. And it's hard. And the Lord Jesus knows. And he understands. But then the Lord Jesus is the earnest intercessor. There's nothing lifeless about the intercession of Jesus, the Son of God. He presents our petitions with warmth and with fervor. He is sincerely for us. And if God be for us this evening, so earnestly, so compassionately, so much with understanding, who can be against us? Yes, you may be dealing with difficult employers. You may be dealing with demands and employers. You may be dealing with people that are very difficult with you in your life. But if God is for you, who can be against us? Oh, Satan may win many battles, but in Christ Jesus, you will win the war. You will win the war. Oh, he makes our case his own. He intercedes as one with us, as our friendly advocate on high. I want to just share with you one example of his earnest prayers on behalf of his people. If you turn with me to John chapter 17 and verse 24. John chapter 17 and verse 24. Now this is the heartfelt, earnest prayer of intercession. Father, I desire. That's my desire, my heartfelt desire, my pure desire, my earnest desire, that they also, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Wow, what a prayer that is. The love of God the Father to the Son is what Jesus is praying. That same wonderful eternal love will be in us. But then he is the authoritative intercessor. He has been licensed and authorized by God to obtain mercy for his own. And as the great high priest, he has been set upon the holy hill of Zion, as the representative of the church, I have set my son on Mount Zion, on my holy hill. He's been commissioned by God. He has the government of the church upon his shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. We read in Isaiah. And he intercedes with God-given authority. He knows the mind of God the Father. And he has the ear of God the Father. Do you know, friends, Spurgeon once said, C.H. Spurgeon, that the goal of prayer is the ear of God. The goal of prayer, the objective of prayer, is the ear of God. And Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said something very interesting about prayer. He said, prayer as it comes from the believer is weak and languid. In other words, we have to acknowledge our prayers are often weak. But this is what he says. When the arrow of a saint's prayer is put in the bow of Christ's intercession, it pierces the throne of grace. It pierces the throne of grace. So what he's saying is, there is your arrow of prayer. And you seem sometimes that your prayers are weak. But when by faith you're praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the bow, and The string is brought as brought back, and as our intercessor lets the arrow go, it pierces through to the throne of grace. It gets right to the very heart of God, the ear of God. He is the authoritative intercessor, but he is the unique intercessor, the unique intercessor. He and he alone as the ear of the Father in the throne room of heaven. The intercession of the Holy Spirit is within the person, enabling true and living prayer. That is the exercise, the work of the Holy Spirit in the individual, in the believer, whereupon that person is praying as moved by the Spirit. So the Spirit is interceding within a person, enabling us to pray, helping us to pray, interceding for us to pray, understanding even the sighs and the groans. But the one that's interceding before the Father is Jesus, the Son of God. He is the only one there on the throne room of heaven that's authorized, uniquely called in the work of God to intercede for us in heaven. He alone atones for our sin. He alone obtains all the graces of the covenant from the Father to bestow upon us by the Holy Spirit. All spiritual blessings come to us from the Father through Jesus Christ the Son, and they are given to us, bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. But then he is the prevailing intercessor. He prevails over all your doubts and fears. He prevails over Satan's insinuations and assaults. Nothing can stop him in his mission of intercession for you. Oh, nothing can stop him. Satan cannot stop Jesus interceding for you. He's absolutely impotent. He has no business in heaven for you. He has no authority in heaven, Satan. There's nothing he can say, nothing he can do to stop our wonderful Savior, our great high priest, interceding for you. Who is he that condemneth? Does Satan condemn you? Do others condemn you? Do others criticize you? Do others find fault with you? Oh, dear brother and sister, remember this. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Oh, he is the prevailing intercessor. But what I want us to notice, he is the constant intercessor. There's never a time when it's not right to go to the throne of God, the throne of grace. One of the lessons we learn in our Christian life is there's always the avenue of prayer. There is always the avenue of prayer. In the very darkest moment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he sweat great drops of blood, there was one thing left. One thing left. Everything else had been stripped away. The three disciples were asleep. It was Jesus in the garden, in agony. And what was left? Prayer. And so it is in our own lives. Sometimes everything is stripped away. There's still prayer. And there will always be prayer. Because there is always a great high priest in heaven, constantly interceding for us. But then, in my final point this evening, I would ask you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And there we have another aspect of the high priest work of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Now, this is a profound truth that he is not only the great high priest, the sympathizing, the understanding high priest, but his ministry as a high priest is as a minister of the sanctuary. He's ministering to needy sinners. He's ministering the blessings. You know, the Lord Jesus is still serving in heaven. He's still serving his church in heaven. Isn't that a most remarkable thing, truth? That Jesus, the Son of God, has not stopped serving the church. He's serving the church now. He's the minister of the sanctuary. And the word minister means a servant. And he's serving the church. He is the minister in God's holy presence. The ministry of Jesus Christ, the high priest, is on the throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. He is the minister of the true tabernacle in heaven, not one made with hands like the tent in the wilderness. He is the minister of God's tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. The person of Jesus Christ as the God-man in his office as high priest and Savior. Oh, the Father pitched his tabernacle in the person of Jesus Christ here on earth and now in heaven. He is the minister of the tabernacle. Oh, as you know, the Old Testament tabernacle had two parts. The outer part was for the sacrifices, and the inner part, the holy place, was for the intercession for the priest and for the people. And the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of both parts of the tabernacle, inasmuch he is both the sacrifice and the holy intercessor. He is the high priest in the holy place. The high priest in the holy of holies. There is no place holier than heaven. There is no place holier than the throne of grace. And we have a minister ministering for his people in the holy of holies, in the very throne room of God. A minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle. A minister as one who is truly a servant of the Lord's people. Oh, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministry finds its fullest and perfect meaning and sense. His ministry of serving is sacrificial. It was his own blood that was shed as the sacrifice for sinners. His ministry of interceding, it's constant. He never tires to intercede for us. Oh, dear friends, do we not go back to God with the same problems week after week? And we have to confess, Lord, please forgive me. I've lost my temper again. I've not answered in the way I should have done. I've not been as good as a witness at work as I should have been. And Lord, I asked for forgiveness for that last week, and here am I again, Lord. Oh, we have a sympathizing high priest. We have one that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, friends, we have the Lord Jesus, the high priest in heaven above, ever living to make intercession for us. His ministry of care is compassionate. He intercedes with an understanding care. His ministry as our high priest an advocate before the Father, is wise and pure, always the best. He is the only minister in heaven as our great high priest of all those who repent of their sin and trust in him as Saviour. Well, we know there are ministering angels that are under the control of God in heaven, who we cannot see them, but they are ministering for us, but they are under the control of the supreme minister in the sanctuary, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or I read some while ago about a missionary who was living in a village, and there were some angry tribesmen coming to kill him. They had enough of this gospel, they didn't want it in their area, and so they came with their swords. And as they approached the village, the minister could see them coming, the missionary could see them coming. And his wife was scared, the children were crying, the villagers were upset because they would perhaps kill them as well. And suddenly, the chief of this tribe just turned round and fled with the other tribesmen. They ran as fast as they could in the opposite direction. Well, sometime later, that chief was converted. And he came to true repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the minister said to him, "Do you remember some while ago you came to attack our village and you wanted to kill me and you ran away? What happened?" "What do you mean?" he said, "what happened? All around you were these soldiers and they had swords and spears and we saw them and we ran for our lives." Well, God just opened their eyes just for a brief moment to see something that is normally closed to our eyes. I want to tell you something, an experience I had. I had to take a long journey after a preaching engagement, and I did something which you should never do while driving, as you will know. I fell asleep. You know, it's the most dangerous thing to do, because you can be a danger to other people. But I say this to my shame personally, but I fell asleep. Well, I must have been asleep, I think, about 10 minutes, because I suddenly was awoken, and in front of me was a roundabout, and I slowed down and came to this roundabout, and I realized that I'd gone way past the turning that I should have turned off, the slip road where I should have turned off, and it was actually about 8 miles back. And I realized I was shaking. I realized that I had driven all that while. Well, I hadn't driven. The angel had driven for me, probably a much better driver than me. And I had to thank the Lord. Now, that's not something I've never fallen asleep since then at the wheel. You're not presumptuous with God. But, my dear friends, we don't realize how much we're protected. Now, you've had a very sad accident with one of your members who's been very, very ill and very badly injured. And this is one of the great mysteries of God's sovereignty. But friends, remember, there's a divine purpose for this. It didn't happen by chance. And there's something, some good will come out of this, because it's of the Lord is overruling. And we believe this. But nevertheless, the times that we don't know, thousands of times, when we could have been killed and God protected us, we just will never know. Perhaps even when we get to heaven, it'll never be revealed to us. But one thing we will know when we get to heaven is eternity will be too short to praise God for all his blessings for us. So the perfect minister who serves his people in heaven while reigning in glory as the Son of God, the minister. Think of him not only as Savior, but the minister who washes his followers' feet. Oh, what do I mean by this? I don't mean physically, he's no longer here on earth, but he's washing your feet every day. You see, we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We are perfect before God. We are presented perfect before God. We cannot lose our salvation. But sadly, because we battle with the flesh and the old nature, then we sin each day. And so as Jesus explained to Peter, we need our feet washing. We need a wash every day. We need to repent. We need to come for cleansing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in heaven, he cleanses us every day. We have to go for a wash every day. And there is our great high priest in heaven cleansing us, ministering for us as our great servant on high. The one minister who is willing to identify with our grubbiness, with our failures, with our weaknesses, with our wanderings. He's willing to intercede. Oh, if a tramp were to come in this evening and not having washed for several months, someone that was on the street, living on the street, but decided he would come into this meeting, well, praise the Lord if he came or she came in. But what happened if he was sat next to you and he was smelling and he was all grubby and you'd feel uncomfortable? Perhaps you had uncharitable thoughts, wishing the service was over so you could get away. But do you not know that the Lord Jesus ministers for us every day, and we come to him with the dirt of our sin, and he doesn't turn us away? In fact, he does more than not turn us away. He sympathizes. He washes us clean. He's provided a robe of righteousness for us. He presents us perfect before the Father. What glorious condescension is this? The first time the word minister, I'll come to a conclusion now, the time is gone. The first time the word minister is mentioned is in the life of Moses, when Joshua is described as his minister. One who served Moses and remained loyal to Moses. And so the Lord Jesus came to this earth not to be ministered to, but to minister. Now in heaven as we speak, his delight is to minister, to serve his people as the understanding high priest. He is not only the minister to serve, but he is the minister, the only mediator of the new covenant, that is the everlasting covenant of grace. The minister who mediates to needy sinners all the spiritual blessings, all the blessings of the everlasting covenant of grace. Forgiveness, peace with God, justification, spiritual life, spiritual blessing, wisdom, sanctification, fruitfulness, eternal life, heaven, and his mediation, his ministry. His intercession is based upon the pure character of God and the certain promises of God and the absolute certainty of his finished work upon the cross and his resurrection and his authority. The everlasting covenant of grace in Hebrews is constantly spoken of as better. Better. Why is it better? Well, there was a covenant of works for Adam and Eve. And if they continually passed the test of obedience, they would remain in blessed fellowship with God. Now, while the command and the promise of God were sincere and true, the insecurity was not in God's covenant of works that he'd set forth in the Garden of Eden. The problem was not with the covenant of works in that sense. The problem was in the insecurity of man, in man's failure, his fall to fulfill God's law. We cannot obey perfectly God's law. But then the everlasting covenant of grace is better. Why is it better? Because it's all about what Jesus Christ has done and is doing for us now. It's not what we can do for Jesus. It's not what we can do to make us right with God. It's all about what Jesus has done for us and is doing for us. And it's an everlasting covenant of grace. It's certainty, and the fact is it's better is because the keeping of this promise depends upon Jesus Christ and not on us. What an amazing privilege then to be served by Jesus Christ, the minister in heaven, our great high priest. He has an excellent ministry which he intercedes for unworthy, undeserving, helpless sinners who look to him by faith. His work in heaven is to serve sinners saved by grace. His honor is to be praised and adored by sinners. Robert Murray McShane said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet the distance makes no difference. The distance makes no difference. He is praying for me in heaven." Let us hold fast. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is where we find mercy and obtain grace. There is no other way. It is Jesus only. Amen.